am organized, but tonight it got canceled. For tonight, but it got canceled last night. So I asked Bernard Dunn, if there's any program I can invite myself. Any thought of this? I hope you don't mind. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna. All glories to all the BBT devotees. Brihat Mridanga Ki Jai. And just to let you know, in the past I was a BBT devotee. I ran the British BBT from sort of the middle of 76 till the very end of 79, and we were printing books for England. So we had massive book distribution program going, massive. It was really huge. And we were printing our own books. And we would do runs, normally like 200,000, 250,000, just for the British book distributors. Britain, you know, it's a country, well, including Southern Ireland, of, I don't know even, is it 60 million?
No, I think
about 60 million. Maybe a little more. It's not a lot more, but it's something along those lines. That's almost like South Africa. Wow. Yeah. Just a little bit more. And we're printing 250,000 books at a time, just for our distribution there. Bhagavad Gita, we'd focus on one book at a time. Bhagavad Gita softbound. Then we did Science of Self-Realization. Then we did a three-book trilogy called The Art of Living. I forget which the three books were, but anyway, they were in a little box. And I was overseeing the whole process. And we would print, initially we printed, what's it called? I can't remember the name of the process. They don't really use it now. Then the printer changed over to direct litho. Are you familiar with these terms? Litho, offset, normally it's offset. You know what offset litho means? Not exactly.
Yeah.
The plate prints onto a subplate, and the subplate contacts the paper. The plate doesn't contact the paper. Anyway, this may be sort of areas of the process you're not involved in so much. Web, direct litho. Anyway. So, you know what? In the meantime, I produced a couple of books myself, and we have one coming out in a matter of days about Govardhan Hill. So I thought I could read something to you from there. Would that be okay? Something. It's not on the same level as yourselves. You know, you're on a much higher level. With Prabhupada's books. Let me just read this. Following the Govardhan Puja, the Vrajavasis and all other living entities were extremely happy, except for one. Who was that one? Lord Indra. He was furious that Krishna had diverted the puja intended for him and became absorbed in thoughts of revenge. He said to himself, and we quote Srimad Bhagavatam 10:25:5, Vachalam Balisham Stabdham Agyam Pandita Malinam Krishna Martya Mupashritya Gopame Chakrur Apriyam. Translation: these cowherd men have acted inimically toward me by taking shelter of this ordinary human being, Krishna, who thinks himself very wise, but who is simply a foolish, arrogant, over-talkative child. Anyway, then there's commentary on that verse. Let me just read this here. Our great Acharya, Srila Sridhar Swami, makes the point that, unknown to Indra, Saraswati, the goddess of learning, was praising the Lord through Indra's insulting words. He says, Sridhar Swami says, he says that Vachalam literally means verbose or too talkative. But Saraswati is praising Krishna because whenever he speaks, it is revealed scripture. So let him speak. Don't stop it. Balisham in Indra's terms means a mere child. But Saraswati is using this word in the sense that Krishna is completely unpretentious, like a child, despite being the Supreme Lord. By saying that Krishna is stubdham, Indra intends saying that the Lord is not humble, because stubdham means literally standing up, upright, stubdham. So Indra intends saying that the Lord is not humble. But actually Saraswati is glorifying the Lord because he bows down to nobody as he is superior to all and therefore has no one to bow down to. When Indra says Krishna is agyam, he means that Krishna is ignorant. But he is really saying that there is nothing further for the Lord to know, as he is omniscient. Pandita Maninam, by Indra's standards, means that Krishna thinks he is a pandit or great scholar. But by Saraswati's mercy, the phrase really means that he is highly honored by all scholars and sages. By calling the Lord Krishnam, Indra's idea is to call him a mere child who happens to have the popular name Krishna. Although, by Saraswati's mercy, he is in fact saying that Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. Martyam means an ordinary human being, an ordinary human who's sure to die. But Krishna has appeared in his sweet human-like form out of love for his devotees, even though he is the eternal Lord of all. Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpataribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. You're not too tired? I'm going to knock you out. You know, Prabhupada was asked once, I was told, and what's the cure for insomnia? Devotee apparently had insomnia. So he asked Srila Prabhupada personally. And Prabhupada said, read Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, in the Puranas, I forget which Purana, but somewhere. What is it now? Nidra Devi, the demigoddess of sleep, approaches Lord Vishnu at the beginning of creation and says, my service to you, which is my life and soul, is to put people to sleep. But I have a serious problem with your devotees. They never sleep. But I want to do my service with your devotees. So please help me to find a way or some time that I can make your devotees sleep. And Lord Vishnu said, all right, any time my glories are being chanted, but the devotees are not attentive, then you can do your service with the devotees. Anyway, I'll just say a few words. This is very nice that Lord Indra, well, Lord Indra, you know, he's in such a state of mind. Just consider the power of Maya. He's a demigod. He's a devotee. He knows Krishna personally. There is a Upendra, a form, Upa Indra, a form of the Lord who lives as the younger brother of Lord Indra on Indra Loka. Upendra, Upa Indra, means right next to Indra, but Indra's a little above him. So what a position Indra is in. But somehow or other he became attached to pride, name and fame, being appreciated, being worshipped actually. And the Indra puja was being arranged by the bridge busings. And Indra was looking forward to it. I'm going to get all sorts of nice food, nice sabjis. What's your favorite prasadam?
Sure. I think my favorite prasadam.
You've transcended it.
It's hard to really have to say it. It's hard for me to say what my favorite prasad is.
What's your favorite?
Halwa.
However, you should have been with us at the university today. We made some halibut. Sure, that was pretty nice. So anyway, he was looking forward to it. I'm going to enjoy this sacrifice. I'm going to get all this food and relish and enjoy. And they're going to glorify me and say how important I am. And I'm just going to feel really inspired. You know, we have to watch ourselves. Not just get into self-consciousness, but we have to keep an eye on ourselves. At what inspires us. See what inspires us. Because sometimes you may find that something which, according to Krishna consciousness, shouldn't inspire you, it may inspire you. It indicates there's something wrong inside. I mean, just it's a type of example. Many years ago, there was a devotee in Durban named Food for Life. What was his name from America?
Kapila.
Really nice devotee. And he was into drama. And he put together a Ramayana drama, but a serious one, and put it on in theatres around Durban. And people paid money. And it was good. It was good. So it was Ramayana. And at the end of one performance, in Chatsworth, I think, or somewhere in Durban, one gentleman came up to him crying. Because, you know, part of it is the death of Dasarath from separation from Lord Ram, his son. And that man was crying. And he walked up to Kapila Prabhu and he said, "Sir, I know how Dasarath felt. I had a son who left home once." Do you get it? In other words, it's a material sentiment. But Dasarath, oh, he's on another level, completely another level of transcendence. And he's feeling separation. Vipralamba bhava. The incredible feelings of separation. So we have to Indra, there he was, he was feeling all, just enthusiastic, happy, looking forward to getting my sacrifice, oh, and getting glorified. But then Krishna diverted it all by very clever means. Why worship Indra? He only gives you rain if you deserve it by your karma. If you don't have the karma, he not only will he not give you the rain, he cannot give you the rain. So, he is dependent on karma. In other words, God is a dependent aspect of the process of karma. We won't go into all that, but it's very interesting. And Krishna, well, frankly, he bewildered the Vrijbasis. Karma is God. Karma is supreme. You should worship work and things connected with your work. Like, our work is herding the cows, and the cows eat on Govardhan Hill. So we should worship Govardhan Hill. Because without that, how can we work? And they accepted it. And, you know, it's Maya, actually. It's not true. Krishna is saying it. It's there in Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's not true. At least it's not completely true. It has some serious flaws, very serious defects in it. But here's another thing. Many people think, in India at least, because it's in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's true. And I remember the first time I went to India in 1976. And there, anyway, India was in a certain sort of phase, a little dramatic actually. The emergency was called the state of emergency for some years. And they're trying to get people to work harder and, you know, really get India going. Something along those lines. And so all over there are these billboards. Work is worship. Mm-hmm. Means any work, whatever work you do, just sweep the street just to get money to buy some BDs and things like that. It's worship, but it's not true. It's not true. So all these things need to be understood. If they're not understood, people get confused by the very thing which is to unconfuse them. And the only thing that can unconfuse them, Shastra. But by Shastra, because they haven't got the right access to the Shastra, they become confused by the very thing which is to save them, and the only thing which is to save them. So Lord Indra, he became confused. He was feeling, you know, that sense of expectancy and that he was going to enjoy the sacrifice and enjoy being glorified and appreciated. But you know, as they say, the rug was pulled out from under his feet. He thought he was just there, in the right place. Everything was right. Suddenly, bang! The whole thing got totally diverted. So, then what did Indra do? Did Indra say, must be the will of the Lord to correct me and, you know, make me more humble and not so attached to being worshipped? No, he didn't do that. He couldn't do that because he was too much in Maya. So he reacted as here, as stated here in the Bhagavatam, that he thought of revenge. They will not worship me, the great me, the wonderful me, the practically supreme me. They will not worship me. This is incredible. It is absolutely fantastic. It is just too horrific. It is so bad. The only thing that is suitable for them is that they all die. Because it's just too bad. They won't worship me. They offered the food meant for me to Govardhan, including all the halava. And different types of halava. What's your favorite halava?
Pineapple.
Oh, a connoisseur. Have you ever had strawberry halava with clotted cream?
Not with the cream, but yeah.
Okay. He's quite a connoisseur. But not the clotted cream. You have not lived. Well, today we had halava with water. No, not even milk. And what did we have? Water. And sultanas.
No.
But it was pretty nice, actually. So anyway. You know, this is very extreme. I don't think any of you have ever been sort of neglected, overlooked, have you? Mistreated, at least since you've been devotees. And, you know, you were queued up for prasadam, and the last samosa was there. And then you're just about there in the queue, and then the person who already had one jumped in and grabbed it. We're talking about something very extreme. Anyway, don't mind the lightheartedness, but you know, I doubt that any of you have been sort of put in a situation, at least as devotees, where you were offended, shall we say, or mistreated, or something along those lines, to the point that you thought, this person's got to die. It's the only right thing. Anything other than that would just not be suitable. Did you? Not yet. But Indra did. Anyway, like we said, it is so super extreme. It is so that you couldn't really get more extreme. And because on one hand you've got this Indra who's this very special person. Like, really, you know, such an important person. And he has a direct relationship with the Lord. And the Lord is living as his younger brother, living with him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, that's not bad, is it? But still, because of pride, he got so completely lost that he thought the only suitable thing is to kill these people who have, interfered with me being glorified and so on. So it is, you know, it's hard to imagine a more extreme situation. On one hand, some very superior person. On the other hand, some extreme degradation for no good reason, to say the least. But this is Srimad Bhagavatam. See, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of stories. And those stories illustrate, or even just directly, that within the story the teaching is spoken of the most essential things in Krishna consciousness in life, the most essential lessons in life. But in order that we get the lesson, they are such amazing examples of, you know, a situation in which we can learn the lesson, that we should learn the lesson. So here, pride, don't be proud. Try to be humble. And you know, the good thing is, our good fortune is, that we have extremely good reason to be humble. It would be hard to have better reason than we have to be humble. I'm not trying to insult anyone, but this is a situation, it's Kali Yuga, and we've just come out of Kali Yuga. Whew. Sort of upside down and inside out. Lost souls, just lost in Kali Yuga. And many shortcomings. Many shortcomings. And therefore we have a lot to be humble about. And you could say it should be easy. Because, if someone is really, to quote the Jewish, if someone is really just a real schmuck, just a first-class schmuck, if he actually is, if he really is, then if he's a little intelligent, he should understand, wow, I am actually a first-class schmuck. And then he can be very humble, because he knows I'm really just totally out of it. So that is one thing. But, there's the saying, the pauper is proud of his penny. Pauper is proud of his penny. That in Kali Yuga particularly, in conditioned life, if people have one little thing going for them, so one little one, something they did right by mistake, somehow, then because it's Kali Yuga, then they think, wow, I'm cool. Look at me. Yebo. I got it on. I got it together. I am just, I'm okay. One of our devotees in Durban, I don't know if you know, Ishvara Puri, the disciple of Giriraj Maharaj, he's a doctor. He was still at medical school getting trained up for becoming a doctor. He had to go to a psychiatric hospital and interview, these people who were the inmates who really had very severe conditions. And he was interviewing one man who was just sort of way out there, a very unfortunate person. So he's interviewing him. And then some other fellow inmate walked by who was also just in another world. And this, the man who Ishvara Puri is interviewing, who's a super schizophrenic, paranoid, something else, whatever. He leant forward to Ishvara Puri and he pointed to the other man, the other crazy man. He said, "You see that fella? He's crazy." But the problem, Kali Yuga is, and we can pray to Krishna like this, that Krishna, I know I'm a fool, but unfortunately I'm such a fool that I cannot see how much I'm a fool. So Krishna, please help me to see the truth about me, at least a little bit. And then I can understand, wow, I should not want to push myself forward like I'm important, but I should be very ready to take the humble position and serve the devotees and just be satisfied with that. Nice prayer, that sort of prayer. I think Krishna likes it. So, but Indra, So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. We learn this lesson. Just see. Pride comes before a fall. Wow, it's just totally catastrophic. From a very superior position, down to the most, just, you know, it's hard to express it in words, how he fell from the high position to what a low position. It's just, words fail us, actually. But in this way, seeing that, we can learn the lesson, I shouldn't become proud. Yeah, I shouldn't become proud. I should try to be a humble devotee. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, right in the later parts, Uddhava, Narada Muni are talking. Have you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Why? Anyway, okay. You must do it. You finished the Bhagavatam yet?
No, I'll just start it.
Okay. So anyway, Uddhava and Narada Muni have this discussion. It's very nice. And I forget which one is speaking, but one of them is. And he says, you know, humility, the Sanskrit word is dainya. Dainya. Dainya and prema are synonyms. You understand this word synonym? They're interchangeable. Six, half a dozen. They're interchangeable. They're synonyms. So he says, dainya and prema are synonyms. To whatever degree you can develop dainya, to that degree you're developing prema. So this we see here, it is just super bizarre. It is so extremely bizarre that someone on the level of Indra could feel like this seriously and express himself like this. And then act to actually try to kill the bridge busings. It's inconceivable. But it's there so we can learn a lesson. Not that it's symbolic. I was reading yesterday. Would you believe? Somehow or other, I was going through on my computer, I've got a lot of books. Lots and lots of books. And I found I had this book about the Alvars. You know who the Alvars are? The Alvars? They are the Tamil-like acharyas in the Sri Vaishnav line. Most of them prior to Ramanujacharya. So they're like great devotees. And this person was writing this book, this big book about the Alvars. And one Alvar, Ranganath, from the Sri Rangam temple in South India, Ranganath appears to, doesn't just like appear in a dream, he walks up to him. He walks up to him and speaks to him. And then, you know, a couple of sentences later, the writer, having just written this, refers to the deity and says he is a symbol. He is symbolic. You see the challenges we're up against. That this man is meant to be some big authority in the Tamil line, Vaishnav line, that he's telling us, yes, the deity is an idol, symbolic, just to remind us. Like you see a photo of an ordinary person, they're not present there. It's just a symbol, it's just to remind us the person is not present. So, you know, we are extremely, again, it's like Indra's how inconceivable it is for Indra to get into the condition he got into. It's inconceivably bad. For us to get into the positions we're in now, it's inconceivably good. It's inconceivable. You know, even if you think, sit down and think back, you know, what is the likelihood that someone like me, from my past, could now be in this position, not only of having the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, but of being in charge of seeing that the world or the country gets the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It's up to me. Phew. Well, I don't know what to say. I think, again, words fail us. It's inconceivable. But anyway, this is the situation. And it depends on us. We have to give what Prabhupada's given us. And you all, you know, you have to, some of you at least have to translate it. I've translated or been involved in the process of translation to some degree. I was running the BBT here in South Africa for a while in sort of, I forget, late 80s, early 90s. And it's a responsibility to put Prabhupada's words into another language. Wow. You know, I go to Russia, and I've been going there now 21 years. And, you know, I picked up a bit of Russian, not too much, but some. And sometimes, you know, we're giving a class, and we have the book, you know, Bhagavad Gita, say, or Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, you know, we're reading the purport. The translator's reading the purport in Russian, and I'm reading it in English, and I'm basically, basically following the Russian. And then I realize, hey, wait a minute. That's not what Prabhupada said. They make mistakes. I mean, the first Russian translations were in another world, another world, where the devotees, the translators, just used their own conceptions to try and sort of, you know, paraphrase what Prabhupada was saying. So it's a great responsibility. And who would know? It's in our Bhagavatam, as I recall, these comments of Sridhar Swami. Who would know that actually Indra is glorifying Krishna, although he doesn't know it also. Mm-hmm. But who would know if they just read it? But because we have access like this to the disciplic succession, we can know it, and then we can impart it. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. So, yeah, these books, the thing is, these books have the most essential messages, and basically all the most essential messages. But in the most accessible forms. This is the expertise of Shukadeva Goswami and all those great, great personalities and Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. But, and most particularly, it's the expertise of Srila Prabhupada. That literally, and Prabhupada made the point, before he came, there were more than 100 versions of Bhagavad Gita in English, but not one of them had produced one devotee of Krishna. Rather, every one of them had produced people who were confused, spiritually confused. What did you learn from Bhagavad Gita? I learnt I am God. Very good. What did you learn from Bhagavad Gita? I learnt there is no God. What did you learn from Bhagavad Gita? You read it, penguin version. I learnt that my mother-in-law is God. But then Prabhupada produced his Bhagavad Gita as it is, and suddenly thousands of people became devotees. And not just sort of, you know, devotees, something, something, but real devotees. And then very advanced devotees. And then very elevated devotees. And your task, your service is to present that as it is, so that it has the same impact. I mean, in one sense, don't think about it too much because you may become bewildered and give up, thinking, you know, how can I do that? But anyway, you got the service, so go to it and try your best and pray to Krishna. Pray, really pray to Krishna. Yeah, because Krishna is very kind. Let me just read two other verses here, just, and then I'll finish. So this is now, Indra got very angry like that. Then he sent the storm. If you want to hear the details, come to our program in Midran tomorrow afternoon. We're going to go through all of it. It's really quite a story. So the storm comes. Brijbasis panic, and they approach Krishna. 10:8:16. 10:8:16, he says. Okay, I have it. Oh no, sorry. 10:25:13. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, Twannatham Gokulam Prapo. Tratam arhasi devam na kupitad bhakta vatsala. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. I don't know if you pick it up, if it sort of clicked. But they are asking Krishna to protect the cows. And they're saying, you know, while you're at it, you know, protect the cows. Protect the cows. While you're at it, could you protect us also? They're not saying, protect us, help, save us. And the cows also, if you can. Anyway, that's another, you know, amazing consciousness of the Brijbasi. And then 10:25:18, the Lord responds, Tasman mach charanam goshtam, mannatam mat parigraham, gopaye swatma yogena, soyame vrata ahita. I must protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter. I am their master, and indeed, they are my own family. After all, I've taken a vow to protect my devotees. And in the commentaries, the point is made, this is the great vow of Krishna, his great vow. I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. So while you're all translating and editing and, you know, doing all that stuff, then remember, you know, don't think that me, Zulu is my mother tongue. I know it, sure. And I'm fluent in English, no problem. I can translate. I'll just translate it. Go for it. Be careful to not think like that too much, but rather think, my Lord, you know, I don't even really know what I am, but I've been asked to do this service. So please be kind and give me your mercy so I can represent Prabhupada faithfully in a way which does justice to this most, again, inconceivably elevated devotee, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. I hope I didn't frighten you too much. Somehow I didn't know what I was going to say. Somehow I just sort of, something came out. Hare Krishna.
Can I ask a question?
If you like.
How is it that the demigods, particularly Indra in this case, get affected by what seems to be the mode of passion when they should be predominantly?
Well, it depends on the situation, but in this case, this is Krishna's arrangement. This is Krishna's arrangement. That Indra loses it to just the nth degree, so people can see, doesn't really matter who you are, how big you are, but, you know, if you're not careful, you can lose it, and you can completely lose it. Gone. So therefore we have to stick at the lotus feet of the Lord. You know, Indra, despite everything, he is prone. He's a mixed devotee. He has material desire. You know, it's very amazing. It's another inconceivable thing. How can someone be so elevated? The Lord is living with him as his brother. He's not living with me as my brother. Oh, you know, you don't want to meet my brother. I can tell you. Please don't meet my brother. It will not help you at all. But he's actually got the Lord as his brother. Every day they're together. And it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, he's got material desire. Is it, you know? It does not compute. Was that Dr. No, or what was it? Doctor. What do they call it? Doctor Who. When I was a child, Doctor Who started. It does not compute. Yeah, or like in the Bhagavatam also, there's Kardama.
Mm.
Is it Kardama? I think it's Kardama. And he also, he was speaking to the Lord, face to face. Prayed to the Lord appeared to him. And he said, and the Lord said, okay, what do you want? And he said, I want a wife. You know, when you get to that point where the Lord starts appearing in front of you, you know, normally we think you're way beyond needing a wife or a husband, you know, it's just, that's from the distant past. And he got a wife. But he is so exalted that the Lord would speak to him face to face. Wow, it's just amazing. So in other words, it's possible, obviously, that some people can be very extraordinary and even very advanced, but still have material desires. And in the case of Indra, you see that You know, you cannot say that let my material desires and my Krishna consciousness coexist. They will become friends. My material desires and my Krishna consciousness will become friends and live together in harmony. We cannot think like that. We have to know our material desires are our enemies. Or even, you know, if you really get down to it, that our material desires means, it's not just like here we are, we're good guys, and all these material desires attack us and take us over, you know, but actually we're good guys. That our material desires, we're responsible. Yeah. So we should understand really clearly that there's no place in our lives for material desires. And you know, I mean, in some cases, like there's the Grihastha ashram in terms of relationships with the opposite sex, which is material, but you know, it can be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness, so that's okay, that's fine. But otherwise, you know, the great majority of material desires, or so many material desires, can't really be dovetailed. You know, they just have to be, somehow or other, we have to get weaned from them, get free from them. So this we see with Indra, such an extraordinary person. If it had just been some silly fool in the street, you know, Mr. Typical Foolish, and he got angry with the Lord and decided he wanted to kill the Lord, then, you know, well, who's going to really take notice and take it seriously? But when it's Indra, then you see, wow, look at this. So it's like that. And in the Bhagavatam, particularly in the Bhagavatam, you get all these examples of different situations related to Krishna consciousness, like very important situations. And they're very exemplary of that type of situation. So we can learn. Like Ajamil, he became degraded like a dog. Although in the beginning he was, you know, very pukka and very nice and very qualified, but he became degraded like a dog. But then somehow by accident, you could say by accident, he named his child Narayan. And he was calling out, you know, as parents do, calling for his little child regularly, but getting the benefit. And finally, he was passing away, the Yamadutas came and he was saved. We all know the story very well. So, you know, what an example to show that you can start off good, very good, and become like a dog. And then somehow, you get into chanting the holy names, not actually for the purpose of chanting the holy names, but, you know, some other context. And, you know, it's so negligent and, you know, such unqualified chanting. But still, despite the degradation on one hand and the, you know, very unqualified chanting on the other hand, he went back to Godhead. So what an example to show us the power of the holy names and the mercy that's there in the holy names. What an example. And others, you know, like Prahlad Maharaj, they're all these amazing examples of people who get into these incredible situations. and we can learn lessons from it. Because they're like special examples of that sort of situation. Am I making sense? Yeah. And Indra too. I mean Brahma too. He stole the cowherd boys and calves. You know, don't start thinking now that just see, Brahma's in Maya. I get into Maya. Brahma gets into Maya. We all get into Maya sometimes. He's the head of our sampradaya. You're not really allowed to think that he's in Maya. It's Krishna's arrangement. Yeah. And Indra, as we will see tomorrow afternoon, Indra, this whole Leela is almost immediately after, very shortly after, that Brahma Vimohana Leela, very shortly after. And Indra, you know, it's a long story which we'll tell tomorrow, but Indra comes to Brahma, and you know, he's trying to act like he's a little cool, at least a little cool. I mean, you know, calm, a little calm. And he said, yeah, you know what? I heard you offended Krishna recently, but you got excused. You know, a similar thing's happened to me, actually. Have you got some suggestions how I could be excused? And Brahma said, yes, I offended Krishna, it's a fact, but not like you. And initially he tells him, I can't help you. When wise people hear what you have done, they block their ears and go away. So we can learn from these cases.
But then we see again in Bhagavatam how these characters who, these personalities who go through these difficulties, then in the next stage, if we look at like the life of Bharat Maharaj and then the incident with the deer, and then in his next life, there's just the seriousness and conviction to get back home as Jat Bharat. And then with Maharaj Chitraketu, and then in the next life it's Vritrasura, just that determination at the end with Indra. So is to wean those anarthas from the heart, does it take that sort of determination on our part, or how will that purification actually take place?
See, yeah, they're special. They went through it. And you know, we are also schmucks in our own right. But our good fortune is, all we have to do is read about it. Read about it and try to be devotees, and then we'll get the benefit. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakura says about the demons in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, they represent different anathas, and he says that just by reading those pastimes, which, you know, some pastimes addressing some particular anatha, that will help purify you from that anatha, just by reading about it. So just by reading these, so in other words, we don't have to go through it. We just need to read about it and consider it very carefully, and then try to practice nicely. And we'll get the same benefit. Is that okay? That's the whole idea of the Bhagavatam. You read it properly, by the time you come to the end, you'll see Krishna in the pages. Because he's there. And if it doesn't happen the first time you read the Bhagavatam, that you see Krishna in the pages, read it again and keep reading it. I know one, well, I met one devotee in England some years ago. He specializes in the Bhagavatam. And he only reads Bhagavatam, and he reads it every day for at least an hour or more. For like, now it must be 30, at least 30 years, a good 30 years. And he lost count of how many times he read the Bhagavatam after something like 25 or something like that. So just keep on reading. Like Prabhupada said, Prabhupada was asked, what's the result of chanting? What do you get from it? Prabhupada said, the result of chanting is more chanting. So the result of reading the books is more reading the books. And each time you read them, you'll get more. And different things will just become revealed to you. In Russia, pardon me talking about Russia, they have a cake culture. It's amazing. They make these cakes, like really some amazing cakes. And the best cakes are layered. You know, the cakes may be this thick or so. And each layer is like a millimeter or 2 millimeters. And different things. Many layers. So as you bite, at every, you know, as you, your teeth are going through millimeter by millimeter, a different taste is coming.
Yes.
You see? Yeah, oh yeah, it's amazing. And so, particularly the Bhagavatam, but also all the other books, they're like that. You can just go read it again and again and again, and it'll get better. I remember when I was young, did you ever hear of C.S. Lewis and the stories of Narnia?
Yeah.
You know, I was like maybe not even 10, like 8 or 9 or something. And we read those at school. And I got so addicted. So addicted. Wow. Particularly to The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and Prince Caspian. Just so completely into them. I just read them and read them and read them many times. But after a while, you know, I realized, okay. Well, then what happened? The ones after Prince Caspian, as far as I'm concerned, were not so good. He kind of lost the plot at some point. But the Bhagavatam, you read it, and then again, and again, and you just go on indefinitely. And, you know, every time you get more, and then more and different, and more and different, until you see Krishna and you meet Krishna, and Krishna walks up to you and shakes your hand. He says, welcome to Goloka Vrindavan. And the reason that you're getting more and more and different is because it's Krishna and you're contacting Krishna in different ways. In the Bhagavatam. And you know, even these, like the smaller books that you're doing, same principles there. A lot of them are lectures of Prabhupada that have been transcribed. Yeah. And they have the same effect. So, you know, it's a massive responsibility to translate them. It's a massive responsibility. But, you know, if it's your service, don't be sort of, you know, bewildered by that. But just really pray and try. Hare Krishna. Sorry for going on for so long. Thank you for your association. And carry on. Carry on. Hare Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.